Welcome to Community Hope Podcast. We pray that the word of Christ would dwell in you richly as you listen and that you would be encouraged in Christ.
So we're continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer, and we move from the parts of the prayer that are looking up to the parts of the prayer that are looking out, right? We move to the petition parts of the prayer. And today I want to look at just this little section that says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I don't know about you, but the majority of Americans, God has answered this prayer, right? I mean, Billy used to know where every hot meal was in Cleveland, right? Hot meal meaning like if you were homeless or if you were, you know, under-resourced. Remember that, Billy? You knew where every hot meal was. And you could go and have a meal, right? And so when I think about our lives and this cry, really, because there are people on this earth who this is their heart's cry, right? Today, may I please have bread, right? And it seems like to me that much of our lives are like feast and famine, right? There's times of feasting and there's times of famine. And it may not be food, especially in America, but it may be emotional, right? You've got this time of celebration and then you've got this time of potential depression. You know, like a lot of us, we've got this pendulum that swings. And even in our relationship with Jesus, you might be able to go, oh, I'm in this like passionate time, but then you may at other times be like not so passionate or not so committed. And when this prayer was first taught and Jesus talked about daily bread, I would guess that all the listeners went right to, I know what he's referencing, right? When did God give us daily bread? Right? When did we get it? It was bread in the morning, manna, right? And quail in the evening, meat at night. And God fed them with what was called the bread of heaven, the daily bread of heaven. You remember they would go every morning and they would collect. Some collected more, some collected less, and they all seemed to have enough, right? And if you tried to keep it for the next day, it rotted. But except on Friday, you could keep it. You could collect a double portion. It stayed. It was this bread from heaven, this beautiful bread from heaven. And look at what God says to the Israelites. It's prophetic what will happen because he knew the pendulum swing before they ever did. In Deuteronomy, he talks about how they are committed then, but watch out. Look what he says. When you've eaten and are full and have built houses and live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents, scorpions, thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought water out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your forefathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do good in the end. So here, these people were in the wilderness. They were crying out. They were being fed by God. And he goes, watch out, because when you become fat, dumb, and happy, you're gonna forget me. And it seems like that's a swing in our lives, isn't it, sometimes? Prosperity does not always bring you closer to Jesus, does it? You need some kind of personal famine or difficulty and struggle, and all of a sudden, that song, Wake Me Up From My Slumber, you get awoken. I was thinking about this, how our hearts move back and forth. Years ago, I read this book, Shang Tung Compound, written by Langhorne Gilkey, and Langhorne was in a concentration camp. He was also with Eric Liddell, from Chariots of Fire movie, if you've ever seen that. He was in the same Shang Tung compound. And what the Japanese did to the foreigners who worked in China and lived in China, they just rounded them up and put them in camps. They didn't treat them as bad as prisoners of war, but they definitely were deprived. Right, and it was a difficult time. And Langhorne Gilkey talks at the end of his book, kind of an interesting section, where all of a sudden the war's over and how he felt. Look what he writes. He says, with the arrival of the paratroopers, everything changed in our camp. He says, a Chinese delegation from the city showed up the next day and offered us vegetables and grain and substantially more meat than we had ever received before. This after the Japanese told us over and over such items were unattainable. As carts of food began to roll into the camp, all rationing ceased. And from then on, we were plagued by upset stomachs, only because of the rich food. During the first week, we could not eat a full meal without vomiting, but valiantly we kept on trying, right? They had been rationed. All of a sudden, this rich food made them sick. He says, it was amazing to me, however, to find how quickly one slips back into the old indifference. I can remember my second trip into the city telling myself to wake up and enjoy myself. This is stupendous. It's what you longed for. And yet already I was taking it for granted and not feeling it at all. And so it was with most of our newly found good things. We should have gloried in them for months, considered how we longed for them for years, but somehow the second and third time around, they became ordinary, as if we had had them all along. When we had been hungry and our thoughts had been for three square meals a day, lacking sweets, we dreamed of chocolate and candy. Besieged with rumors, we longed for news of the end of the war and our release. And now we had all these delights in abundance, yet we continually had to remind ourselves of the fact in order to appreciate them. We were not really any happier. Our wants and desires had only become harder to satisfy. Instead of freedom, we wanted home. Instead of enough to eat, we dreamed of cocktails and seafood. And now we had the necessities of life. We tended to take them for granted, and we looked for luxuries. Such are the insatiable desires of the human animal. Ironically, it is quite true that man does not live by bread alone. Isn't that interesting? And this is how our lives tend to go. And here Jesus teaches us to pray with Christians around the world, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And so I want to divide this message up this way. I want to talk about give. And who's the giver? I want to talk about us, and then I want to talk about this day's bread. Give us this day's bread. And I just want to know who would copyright that phrase. Never mind. How would they even give it to somebody? Okay. So when we're crying out, give, right? Give, who are we coming to? Well, we're coming to the God who says, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open, right? And so you look at this and you go, oh, it must be kind of simple. If I need something, I should just ask. So the Slocums, Rebecca, messaged me something that Zach saw on the news about this gal who had a truck like hit her semi and pushed her off a bridge. I guess this was like a month ago. And she was in the cab. She also couldn't swim. And she is hanging there. And it took a while for the rescue squad to get there. And what stuck out at me is she goes, you know, I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I pray and I don't think God is listening, but he was that day, right? Ask and it will be given, you know. I was telling somebody about our prayer path, right? And about how a guy came in to our church and he goes, he was a Lyft driver and we just started having a conversation. So tell me your vision. I'm like, well, I don't know. But I look back at the land, I go, I would love to have a prayer path back there. And he says, if you can conceive it, it already exists. And I'm a skeptic. I'm like, I can conceive a lot of things that don't exist, right? You know, a mountain of gold, right? Where is it, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, but I just let it go because I just met him. And then later that day, there was a guy who was suicidal who came and we're talking. And I thought, let's just go back in the woods. You know, woods are good for people who are struggling emotionally. So we're back in our back lot. And then I saw these the landscapers. I don't know if you know that we have a deal with them. They use some of our land. But before the deal, they use some of our land anyways. They just think it's theirs and just start taking it over. And so I walk back to the guys and I go, hey, do you know like you're on our property? And they go, well, you know, we have a deal with these people to rent some. Maybe we could work something out. And here's Pastor Doug. For past transgressions, I wonder if you would build a prayer path for me. They go, sure, we'll do that. I'm like, if you conceive it, it's already done. Same day, right? And they are the ones who began the prayer path for us. It's gotten much better. But ask and it will be given, right? You know, I rode my bike almost across Missouri, the bottom red line, last week with a friend. It's called the Katy Trail. I've always wanted to do it. And so I was able to do it. And we were, my buddy was like, let's camp the whole way. Now I can camp with the best of them, but I was able to talk him out of camping every night. And so the one night, I'm like, the casino's the cheapest, let's stay there, you know? So we stay at this casino, and they had this pond with like large and small goldfish in it, and a little thing so you could buy food and feed them. So we go, we have dinner, we come back, we wanna feed the goldfish, no change. Go to the front desk. They're like, no, you don't have any, we don't have change. I'm like, what? You're a casino. She goes, go into the casino. So my buddy's like, I'll just put money in the one-armed bandit, pull it once, and then get the change, thinking coins would come out, right? So he puts a five in. There was not enough money. They don't want a five. He puts a 20 in. Now he can push the button. So he pushes the button, bar, bar, bar. And it's like 42.50. Before I could do anything, I pushed the cash out button. And so we made like $22 and we could feed the fish, you know. It was kind of fun, you know. And sometimes we think, oh, this must be the way it is with God, right? You know, God gives us everything we ask for, you know. He's a giver of all good gifts. And yet, I'm so happy this verse is in the Bible. Because look here, James and John, son of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, teacher, now look what we want you to do for us whatever we ask. You said it, I'm claiming this promise, right? Just like us. You said ask, I will ask, right? And he, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in glory. Now they might have thought earthly glory, it doesn't matter. Jesus goes, you don't know what you're asking. And isn't this the way it is? The Lord gives us a promise, and then we take it, and he's like, no, sorry, it's not good there, right? You don't know what you're asking. And, you know, parents get this, because kids will want all kinds of stuff, and if you give them everything they want, it'll ruin them. It'll even hurt them. Some will want sweets 24/7, right? And you're like, no, the dentist will love you, but it's not good for you, right? And so, like Jesus says no. And the truth of the matter is when we say, give us this day our daily bread, and Lord, included in that are all our needs, he knows what's best for us. And he always answers our prayers in the way that we would answer them if we had all the knowledge that he has. I mean, how many of you look back? I was thinking of my high school girlfriend, you know. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayer, right? Because we, at that moment in time, thought we had to have this job, this promotion, this, you know, whatever it was, and God withheld it, and sometimes we're able to look back and go, oh, yeah, I'm thankful that that was not in your plans, Lord. I'm thankful for that. And that scripture goes on, the ask scripture, and he goes, which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone, or a fish will give him a serpent, right? He's like, come on, if your son is hungry, you're not going to give him a rock, you're not going to give him a snake that will bite him. And then he goes, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Did you catch that line? Imagine being the disciples. Or if I'm talking, if you who are evil, Heidi, right? Do you know what I mean, Marianne? If you who are evil, right? You'd be like, did he just call us evil? What did he do? You know, but he knows us. He knows us, right? If we could be perfect and good and holy, we wouldn't need a Savior. We're always trying to save ourselves. But if you who are evil know, and this is the thing about God, is that God takes evil people and dies for them. Do you guys ever like tip? Do you ever tip for bad service? These people didn't, right? Look at that. Here's your tip. Do better, right? Every waitress wants it. My favorite is this one over here. I'm tired of people like you shoving religion down my throat. How are they doing it? Telling me, have a blessed day. Oh my goodness. Right? Zero. Right? And you're like, oh, hurt people, you know. I've tipped bad service, even bad food, right? And well, it tipped them well. Because you know why? Jesus does a lot more than tip us, right? Like, while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of God, Christ died. God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world, he gave the sinful world, the world that hated him, the world that put his son on the cross. He is the best tipper because he tips with his own life, right? And that should actually make us people who are like good and generous people. Now, the Apostle Paul, I think he had the beautiful perspective, because there's probably somebody who said, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And then he accepted whatever came from the hand of God. You know the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, Now that I'm speaking of being in need. Thank you, Gretchen. For I have learned in whatever situation to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. It's like I've got a lot of food. I've got hardly any food. And he said, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then here it is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's like, Lord, I don't get a lot from your hands today, but I'm content in you. Lord, I get a lot today of food or whatever it is, and I'm content in you. And I think this is really the secret, right? It's learning to be content. So I don't want to throw my buddy under the bus, but I'm going to do it a little bit. So I rode across Missouri with my buddy. Now here's the secret to my buddy. He does CrossFit. So all his friends said, you do CrossFit. You can ride your bike 240 miles. That's no problem. No. His seat was very pained on him, right? You can't spend hours sitting on like a little stick, right? You know how they make bike seats that are miniature. And so after the first day and a half, every 5-6 miles, he wants to get off and walk. And it doesn't matter what cajoling, coaching, or whatever. You know, I said to him on the one day, listen, if you ride faster, then you won't be sitting on your seat for longer. So the next day, Gretchen calls, and we're talking, I have her on speaker, and she goes, Mark, you know what he told me? If you ride faster, you won't be, I'm like, shut up, Gretchen, I tried it yesterday, it didn't work. And so I basically had to go, you know, I can't change my buddy, I can change me. So I'm going to just enjoy the time. We made it every day to our destination. It just took longer. I'm just going to scale back. I'm going to be content. Content moving slow, content moving fast. And I think there's a secret in this. So the scripture goes on and he goes, give us. Give us. You know, when I think about this prayer, I want to tell you how in my mind I pray it. My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Anybody pray it that way? You're not changing the words, but you're making it your prayer. Interesting, isn't it? It has the word us in it. So he says, go in secret and pray this prayer about us, but it's about others. And if it's us, and I'm saying, give us this day our daily bread, what if I am to be the answer to the prayer for you? Right? The hot meals that Billy knew about, he took Grandma Mary there, all over town. Give us this day. Billy's like, I'll do it, and I'll drive Grandma Mary to all these hot meals. You know, give. What if you're the answer to the, and it may not be food, but it may be a tank of gas, or it may be, come over and have a meal with me, or let's go out and have coffee. You know, daily bread may not just be bread. It may be some other kind of need. What if you are the answer? And what if when we pray this in church, you pray it for yourself, but at the same time, all the people around you? Oh, Lord, forgive Community of Hope our trespasses. Lord, give Community of Hope bread. Do you see that? Do you see how the usness of this prayer has been forgotten in our hearts because everything's about me, right? Diogenes, you're like, oh yeah, I know him. He wrote this is a letter to Diogenes, somehow 100 to 150 AD, and it described the church. This guy was trying to write against the church, right? The letter is was about Christian heresy, what we believe is heresy. And this is what he said: they share their table with all,